Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie.
And I'm Christine Marie.
You're the mother. I'm Julie. I'm the daughter. And it's almost your birthday.
It is.
Well, it is your birthday.
Yes.
It's your birthday. Yeah. It's your birthday. It's your birthday.
Happy birthday
to you. I think in the last 2 or 3 years, there was a court case that said no longer do you have to not, do you have to pay royalties to the family members of the people who did the song Happy Birthday to You, because it's just now in public domain.
Thank God.
And thank God to the world. And yet, thank God, that family's like, what? Say what? It's like having a patent, being a patent troll.
Yes.
You're like,
but, and then the day comes when it has to be, it's not your patent anymore.
It's no, it's the world's, it's the world's gifts.
Yeah.
It's public domain. Then, at some point, and at some point, the person who created this is in heaven or moved on, and they're like, you know what, guys? By now, you should have saved the money.
Hopefully, you should have
bought businesses.
Yeah, or expanded on my idea.
Yeah, you know, this wasn't the cash cow for my great 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 grandchildren.
Right. Unlike Bezos.
Yeah. Yes. Who? Very interesting. You brought up Bezos because I heard his wife mentioned twice this year.
Isn't that this week?
Yeah, twice this week.
I mean, and that's usually a sign of something for us.
Yes.
And so now we're talking about it.
Yeah, that's right.
Number
well,
three.
And we listened to a podcast with Colonel Fravor. He's the one that's on the TikTok.
Tic Tac.
That's something else completely. But TikTok, the little UFO. Tic Tac, the little UFO.
Right.
But it's 40 feet wide. And it was a fascinating conversation with this new guy, this podcast who I have not heard from before. And his name is Lex Friedman.
Friedman, I think.
Yes. Very interesting podcast because
4 hours long.
Yes.
That definitely was the longest I've ever heard.
Right. Yeah. And it took us several days to listen to.
Several days.
But what was fascinating is I didn't find, when I listened to the podcast with Joe Rogan and Colonel Fravor, I thought that Joe Rogan, I mean, I go, God, this guy, he's not used to being on a podcast. He's kind of dry. And then now when he was paired with Lex, I'm like, oh my God, this guy comes across against Lex as so charismatic.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. We're consomme. No, consomme. That's a soup.
That's a soup. A nice tomato soup. Yum, yum. With a grilled
cheese.
We're
a connoisseur
of
podcasts.
Yes.
And there's a new podcaster on the scene, that Lex Friedman dude. He's supposed to be, and everybody just adores him. He's an MIT scientist, engineer,
PhD,
whiz kid, and deep thinker. And everybody's vying to be on his podcast.
Yes.
And so I couldn't wait to hear him.
Yes.
And I said to myself, I have to hear another one of his podcasts.
Yes.
Colonel Fravor was 4 hours long.
Yes.
But Lex himself comes across as slightly on the spectrum of autism or something.
Or I wouldn't have thought
slow?
He was smart. Yeah.
No, not at all smart.
And more like, you know, like, what's going on here? But everybody loves him and adores him. And he's had over 100-something podcasts.
Really?
Yes. Like number one. That was number 125 we listened to or something like
that. No way.
Yeah. So he's doing.
He's new to me.
Yeah. He's new to us.
Yeah.
He's new to us. But
what?
And
that was the best he could do with Colonel Fravor?
Well, and it was good.
Fravor was good. Fravor is, he's on fire.
Yeah.
He's a Top Gun guy. And you realize the testosterone that's just rolling through the veins of these Top Gun dudes.
I was
and he
quite
has
turned
a
on.
Whole different language.
Yes.
And I don't even care what it means. It just sounds good coming from him. And he is literally like totally, what would you call it? An A type A personality?
Oh, he's definitely an A personality.
I was thinking about A, triple A personality.
Well, and triple A. Well, it was interesting because hearing him talk and listening to him, and I'm going.
And you think Julie talks fast.
Yeah. Colonel Fravor does talk fast.
Oh, yeah.
There are times I had to rewind.
I had to tell Julie,
do
you have it on 1.25?
Yeah, you asked me that.
Yeah.
That's so hysterical. Do I have it? And I said, no, I do not.
You went, no, no, I do not.
I don't have it at one. And then what were we listening to, though, that some podcast, oh, I know. Okay, it was the podcast of Root of Evil.
Yes.
With all about yes. George
Hodel.
Hodel, thank right. you. And he, it was his Dahlia. Family that was doing it. And you said, and I go, you know, these people are reading the script and it could go a little bit faster. Mm-hmm. And then we tried 1.5 because yeah. I didn't have 1.0. Only yeah. Audible gives me 1.25,
yeah.
which I would have loved. But yeah. I did 1.5 yeah. and that was just a little too slow.
Right.
Let me too fast. Right. I'm like,
But then we did find out, though, one of Lex's sponsors is this thing, and I think it's an adaptation of Blinkist, which does podcast. It'll
yes.
tell you. So Blinkist will do a nonfiction book.
Right.
And give you a summary, a 15-minute summary yes. of the book and all its high points.
Nonfiction book.
Same thing now they do for podcasts.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm really going to think about doing this for our Christmas present
yes.
for the family.
Yes.
Because each year we try and do a different theme.
Yeah.
2 years ago we did Jordan Peterson, but the whole year with Jordan.
We did. And it was a good year with Jordan.
It was
Jordan.
A good year. And he pops into our life periodically.
Yes, now he does.
And yeah. then we did last year with Sam Harris.
We did a whole year, and I'm not going to give him up.
No.
I love him.
Well, because we bought into the app, the yes. Waking Up app.
Yes.
And it's 10 minutes of meditation or more than that
yes.
sometimes.
Yes.
And we enjoy it. Mm-hmm.
It's so, daily.
It's daily. And so where Jordan Peterson really delve deep into a philosophy of life. Mm-hmm. Sam is not. We're really learning the basics of this kind of meditation, mm-hmm. mindfulness.
Yes.
We've been meditating for decades,
right?
You know, so take it or leave it. You know, that's how I feel about it.
Well, he doesn't. He does a specific kind.
Yeah.
Whereas we just sort of do visualizations
and hypnosis.
Right.
I mean, we've been doing hypnosis, visualizations, that kind of mindfulness,
right?
And then sometimes silence,
right?
You know, and so forth. But then we've upped our ante this year because we do a half hour in the morning, very specific, which
right.
is Sam Harris,
right?
Mindfulness,
right?
Then we do a Wim Hof breathing activity,
right?
And then we do what we like to do is
Joe
like
Dispenza breathing,
yeah. But we've done that ourselves with we mixed it with and yeah,
a mission
with
Gabriel's oboe,
yes,
yes.
I wish Norm would have opened
Hello.
The door. To
Thank
get
you.
Out.
Thank you.
So it's kind of funny because as we're doing this radio show, Normano says, P.S., by the way, I have to go to the bathroom. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. And we're like,
and
sure.
Right as we're saying
now,
Hello, everyone. And so Norm decides to do number two.
Right. Which was fine. Mm-hmm. But then I'm thinking, how about keeping the door closed while you flush?
Mm-hmm. And, but no.
But I think he thinks then the dog will bark. Mm-hmm. If I close the bathroom door, which is in your big, you know, master bedroom mm-hmm. slash office.
Mm-hmm. Slash.
Living space.
Dining area.
Dining room, TV watching. and then he decides to leave the room, which is fine. Great.
Yeah.
But he leaves the dog in here.
Why?
And yeah. so immediately as we close the door, like with mm-hmm. any dogs, most dogs hate closed doors, mm-hmm. especially when their buddies are on the other side. It's
yeah.
like, what you doing?
Yeah.
I'm in here, you're out there. That's not right.
Yeah.
That's not right.
So he went to the door, barked, and
Dad Normano
Norm
came back. Thank you, Normano. Thank
yeah.
you. So we're getting back to the new, we were listening to a podcast with Lex Friedman, and it was, I can't think of the guy's name, but he
sounded like Yuri or something.
Oh, Yuron, yeah.
Yuron or something.
Yeah, something like that.
And he's he's like the best scholar in the philosophy of objecticism.
Yeah, right.
Following the order of Ayn Rand.
Iran.
And I used to always say Ayn Rand.
That's how they said it. They said Ayn Rand.
They did?
Yeah, they said it. They sound, yeah.
I thought they were saying like Ayn Rand or
no,
something.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, I'm wrong though.
Yeah. But so that was another 3 hour.
Aaron Brock. Ayaron Brook. Brook.
Oh, you're in Brook. You're in Brook.
Oh, and it's so funny.
Urine.
Yeah. Can I say it's funny? Ayn Rand.
Right.
That's the person's name.
Right.
Ayn Rand.
Yeah.
That's it. It's not. But
she wrote the fine.
I thought it was only her first name.
Oh, no, you did not. No, you did not.
I did not.
Oops.
I did too.
Okay.
Ayn Rand.
Yeah.
Okay. Ayn Rand.
All right. I know. You haven't read the classic then.
I have. But
Fountainhead or...
Yeah.
What's the matter?
No, I just... it was a little embarrassing because listening to these guys talk, I like to be pushed when I'm listening to podcasts. Mm-hmm. And I like to hear different ideas mm-hmm. and different philosophies of life.
We want to be stretched.
Yeah, I really do.
We ask to be.
Yeah. And then there are times when I hear, literally, I can only pick out two or three references that I really understand. Mm-hmm. Or like, oh, yeah, I get that. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And then I go, maybe this week I should decide to dive deep in these references to really round my knowledge and so forth. So that's kind of where I was at. But then they're like Lex, he's got to be in his early 30s, if that. You know, he's saying, I read this when I was 14 years old and it changed my life.
Yeah.
Now, he didn't say it like that, though, by the way. I read this. And when I was 14, when other 14-year-olds would read this. And when I mentioned that I would read Ayn Rand,
Eyes would roll.
And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, who talks like that?
Eyes are still rolling.
Eyes are still rolling. I know. It is funny because there are times when I listen to a podcast and I am doing the obligatory jerk-off mode. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I get it. You guys are just all jerking each other off. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yes, we do say that.
Yeah, we do. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
And in some ways, I appreciate that.
Colonel Fravor was jerking himself off.
100%.
And it wasn't even a humble brag.
No, it was just and how could it be?
Yeah.
How could it be?
Yeah.
Not only, I did love his joke here, and I don't know if I said it before. He goes, people ask him, and Lex asked him, because he went to Top Gun school. That's what it was called. He goes, is it like the movie? He goes, well, when I was there, we had we always had two things that were the same in the movie and the school. One was, number one, is that there's a school called Top Gun. That is true. Two, we fly planes. That's the only thing in common we had with the movie.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
But what I loved about him, if I was going to take away from that podcast.
Which one?
The Lex and Fravor about the tic-tac.
Right.
One was because I've seen UFOs. I've had spiritual natural things happen to me. Okay. I've tried to take pictures of things, and they turn out crappy anyway. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. But like I said, previous episodes, I need to upgrade my phone because I do see interesting things, and I have a crappy 4. But it still works. I can't get rid of stuff that works.
I can't. Okay. I wouldn't know what to do without your phone.
I know. I can drop it from a 10-story building. It will still work, and the screen will not crack. Mm-hmm. I have never had a cracked screen. Mm-hmm. Never. Okay, so back that off.
All right.
But he goes... You know, because Lex is like, well, what happened after you saw this tic-tac and came into contact with it? Probably contact of the second kind, right? Because third is the person coming out. Mm-hmm. Fourth is when you go up with them. Mm-hmm. I think that's how it goes. And I will try and reenact the scenario. I'm Lex. Do you want to be Favor? You be Lex. I'll be Favor. Go.
Well, Captain Favor... Mm-hmm. How was it? What did you see?
Well, first off,
what was it like?
Well, I can tell you right away. This is what it's like. I mean, I am a professional pilot. So I go out there, I see it, I go, wow, that's amazing. That's incredible. Don't know what to do. I come back, and guess what? I've got to train my guys because we're going out, we're actually getting off, going into our operations in Afghanistan. So guess what? I had no time to deal with this, and it was no big deal. I saw it, I took notes, I came back, and then I trained my guys for our next operation. Boom, done next.
Highly inspirational. That's Captain exactly. Fravor.
You're right. Lex, one reason why I'd like to come talk to you is because you see the beauty of this. You're right. It was highly inspirational. I saw this thing. I couldn't identify it. It had a different propulsion, propulsion. And you're like, what are you doing with it? It's amazing. It's amazing. I come back in now and I'm like, and I knew I was going to get crap for this. And all of a sudden they're playing, you know, E.T. and Independence Day on the 24-hour movie feed. And I'm like, ha, 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 that's so funny, guys. Jab, jab, jab. Oh, and by the way, tomorrow I got to go out there and train my guys because we're deploying tomorrow. So that was it.
You know, Captain Fravor, some people wonder if it could have been just something, a play on, I don't know, the light. You may have seen things.
Oh my
wrong.
God, I've heard this before. Like, heard why this is just a fake thing or it's not really what I saw. Let me tell you one thing really quick. Lex, here's what's going on. First of all, I've been trained over and over and over again to see appropriately with my eyes. I could tell you whatever that size of that Tic Tac was 100 miles away. I could tell you right away. Now, you may say that maybe I didn't see it correctly because of the light and so forth. But now you can remember, I had a guy behind me in the plane that saw it. And I had another female pilot above looking at 8,000 who saw me and the Tic Tac at the same time. And she has someone behind her. So you got to tell me, 4 professionally trained Navy pilots didn't see what you saw? I think not, Lex. That's a big fat lie.
I hear you. I was wondering about your children, what they might be doing. Are they following in your footsteps? And I'm also maybe interested in what your parents and your grandparents might have done.
Oh, well, a good
to produce something like a Top Gun pilot such as your...
So. Oh, well, you're so right. I'm glad you brought this up because what really we need to know is that pilots typically have baby pilots. That's how it works. Except that my son wanted to become a pilot just like me because he saw how great I was at doing it and how much fun I was. It's so much fun doing it. Becoming a pilot, having all this testosterone running through my body, it's amazingly fun. But my son, unfortunately, was born colorblind. So we knew from very early on that you can't be a pilot when you're colorblind. Hence the reason why I know I saw what I saw out there. It wasn't light plate because we have great vision when we're pilots. So they both, my daughter and my son, are both doctors. Now, but I want to tell you something. I'm glad you asked me about my father and my grandfather because my grandfather was very inspirational to me. You know what? When he died, he had literally, I'm not joking, he had a processional, if that's what it's called, that was literally a mile long, maybe 2 miles, maybe 3 miles long.
Whoa.
And you know what it was? He delivered beer to all different neighborhoods, wasn't afraid, and everybody loved him. Everybody loved him. And he always told me, do your best and be kind. And that's what I did. I always did my best and was kind. And here I am today.
And that's how you became.
That's how I became a professional pilot.
You know, I'm curious though. Sounds great for sure.
No, thanks. Okay.
But how do you see the, you know, I mean, every time you go up, let's face it, you take your life in your hands.
Well, let me tell you right now.
How do you feel about...
Lex, I'm telling you right now, we're not guaranteed a day. And I had a really good friend, a really good another Navy pilot who I loved and adored, best buds. He's one of the guys you call up when you're like, I got a body to bury. Come with me to the desert. Let's bury this body together. He'd be the one to do it. But here's the thing. He called me up. He was deployed into an area that had radiation poisoning from a factory. So high rates of cancer. He lost his son at 18 from cancer. He calls me up and he says, oh, I know what I'm going to do, but I have cancer and I'm on my way out. And I was so terribly sad, so terribly sad. And he's like, listen, it's not when you die, it's how you live. And you got to live every day to the fullest. And I'm like, so Lex, I'm telling you right now, I'm not afraid of dying. I'm just afraid of not living. So I'm up there living. I'm being kind. I'm being brave and I'm doing the best I can. I'm up there living and seeing.
Sure. I couldn't take it any longer.
We could have done. We should be hired for Blinkist.
Yes, we should have.
We can tell you that. A 3-hour podcast in a minute and a half. Good job. Congratulations, mother. We could be.
You did a good job.
We did. We need to be on Blinkist. We need to shorten these things for people so we can just tell them.
Yeah, they don't have to hear the interview.
No. Yes, he's impressive. Great. They saw what they saw. Wonderful.
So, can we do the same thing regarding the Huron Brook?
Yes.
I mean, we could probably do that in about 10 seconds.
Okay, yes.
Yes.
Okay, go for it. Okay.
Huron.
Okay, am I Huron?
You're Huron.
Okay, okay.
Huron. Okay. I'm Lex.
Okay.
So happy to have you here.
Yes.
Amazing.
Oh,
amazing
thank you, Lex.
Thinker.
Thank you, Lex.
We might disagree on a few things, you and me and Sam Harris as well. But you are the premier objectionist. Objectivist.
Yes.
Philosopher in the world today. Could you give us a little bit of a rundown between what that is, who discovered it, and who is against it?
Well, you know, Lex, I really want to tell you thank you for having me on your podcast, because it's such a nice treat to have the luxury to really draw out these ideas and these thought experiments. And I want to tell you right now, if we go back, really the first objectivist might be Ayn Rand. You know her, that famous author?
Yes, and I read her when I was 14. Actually, that was the third time I read her. I was about five when I read her the first time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, Lex, one reason why I want to come to your podcast is because we get to really draw these ideas out.
Yes.
And I want to tell you one thing about her and her writing. She came from Russia, and she was there during the Russian Enlightenment. But things were changing. Her father owned a pharmacy in 1905. But things were changing all around her. And her family knew that she wouldn't do well here, in communist Russia as a woman, as a smart woman. So at some certain time, Stalin allowed some people to travel, and she decided to go to America to learn movies and bring back her knowledge. She told them to back to Mother Russia. She decided to stay in the United States when she got here. She's like, screw this, man. We're staying here. But, you know, you're so right. She was like the first objectivist.
Yes.
And so there's objectivist and then there's a subjectivist. And you know, and I believe things are what they appear to be. They are objective.
You can see it.
Yes. Subjectivist, they go, could be this. It could be that. It's how you perceive them. But she would say, no, it's only one way. Mm-hmm. It's only one way. If you get too much into it could be this or it could be that, then the world doesn't have any meaning.
Right. And it's all about meaning.
And I believe also, because I have this disagreement with Sam Harris, even though I like him and adore him, and for so many other reasons, but not this reason, is that he truly believes that you have no free will. And I believe that free will and the will and your right to make decisions and a consciousness is the only thing that differentiates us from other animals.
Yes.
And other species on this planet.
Yes.
You know, we aren't brought in knowing how to cook. We aren't born into this world knowing how to hunt. You know, a lot of species, they're born and they're like off and running, already programmed into their mind.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Lux, we are taught. We have a consciousness. We have a mind that must be used. And Ayn Rand would agree with that you are supposed to use your mind for the highest and best good for the individual.
Or the collective.
And hopefully that the collective would benefit from that as well.
I understand.
Yes.
Is it true now? You know, I'm from Russia myself.
Of course. Thank you.
Is it true that
most great philosophers are?
Thank you. And on her, in her magical first week in the United States, she wanted to go to Hollywood because she wanted to be a script writer. And I heard it could be lore.
Well,
But like at her first moment in Hollywood, at the Hollywood lot.
I know this story completely.
Do you?
She just got out of a meeting and it didn't go too well. Not at all. But she got out of the meeting and here comes driving by in a big, huge convertible was Cecil B. DeMille's.
Whoa.
And
it is true.
It is true. Yes. And she, yes, it is true, Lex. And she stared at him. And he stared back and said, why are you staring at me, miss? And she's like, you know what? I've always wanted to be a writer. And I was wondering if you could tell me how to do so. And he goes, hop into my car, little missy, and I'll teach you everything I know.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
it was Cecil B. DeMille Stein.
Yes. Now, I like to say this right now. In current atmosphere... I think women would be leery of an older gentleman saying, little girl, come into my big convertible. Let me teach you everything I know. You know, as you pleasure me, please. And then it'll be like tit for tat or tit for tit, whatever.
And did she get into Hollywood then?
She, but basically he allowed, he goes, if you want to be a writer, you must learn everything about filmmaking. And he gave her a week pass that turned into a 2 week pass that turned into her being an extra in all the, on all of his movies. And to her meeting her.
She married.
Married an actor. An actor, and then she became the writer that she is. Except now realize that her books, Lex, actually sell more books now than they did when they were first published. And that's how.
That's when you, from what I understand, Huron, that's the mark of a good writer.
It is.
You know, I heard, maybe you can verify this for me, but in the year that The Fountainhead came out.
Yes.
It was number two. Mm. Number one was The Bible.
Yes.
So she almost caught up with The Bible. Bible.
Well, you're a little right there, Lex. Not completely right.
Okay.
What happened was they did a survey in the 1950s, I believe it was, from Smithsonian,
posters.
posters, exactly. And they said, what were the top five influential books of all time for you? And they categorized them all. The first one was The Bible. Mm-hmm. And the second one was
The Fountainhead.
Yes, exactly right. So there you go. So thank you for letting me share her story.
Oh, it's
been
amazing.
And going deep in the woods. And now we get to talk another 2.5 hours about the importance of being an objectivist. Scene. Again, you're welcome, everyone. We just saved you 3 effing hours. I'm not saying it wasn't fascinating, because it was completely fascinating.
It was pretty fascinating.
But once again, yeah. I feel like I need to take notes and then like go deep. Yeah.
I'm kind of drained right now. Wow.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was hard for you to play
Lex. 7 hours. 7 hours of playing Lex.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, what I think is interesting, too, is because I do have some Audible credits coming my way. Mm. I do would like to listen to some of her books if they have them on
yeah,
Audible.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they would.
And I wonder who says it, though. Let's see. Who would you love to portray all the characters? Because sometimes I get like, I'll tell you what.
You should look real quick.
Lou Diamond Phillips.
Yeah, he did a great job.
He did a Clancy novel.
Right.
He was wonderful.
He was great. He even played women.
Yes. And I loved it when he got into his feminine role.
Yes.
He really connected with his feminine self. I'm like, yes. This is awesome.
So, Julie, I'm going to change gears a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I think Jennifer Aniston would be awesome.
Do you think so?
No, I don't.
Oh.
I don't know who I'd have picked.
I don't know either.
I don't know if I should somebody.
It should be somebody with an accent, maybe.
But it should be somebody famous that like you, like Lou Diamond Phillips. Once I knew it was Lou Diamond Phillips, all I saw in my head was Lou Diamond Phillips. Mm-hmm. He was the main character. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, Jack Ryan.
But here's the thing, too. Like when we decided to get the Bible on Audible,
yes,
we had our choice of narrators.
Right.
We could have gotten Morgan Freeman, another black guy.
No, not Morgan Freeman.
The other guy.
Yes. Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones, yes. Yeah. And a couple
there were other
people too.
Yes.
But we chose Perot.
Well, because we already had on a CD James Earl Jones.
Yes. Yes.
So we knew how that went.
Yes.
And that he's fine, but he.
And we knew the ending already.
We knew the ending already. But what we really wanted was when you went with Perot, what's his name? Do you know his name in real life?
David Suchet.
Okay. There is something very rhythmic about the way he speaks.
Yes.
That you don't mind going to sleep to
And very, very, very British.
Yeah.
Like, it's all going to be okay.
James Earl Jones puts fear of God into you.
Yeah. Because really.
You will. The waters parted.
Yeah. Well, tell you, like, the God of the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Like, it's, and then the God of the New. Yeah. It's like two different people.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, yes. We evolved. God evolved. There it is.
Evolution,
baby.
Yeah.
Evolution. Which people always feel weird when I say something like that. Like, God does not evolve. How do you know God doesn't evolve?
So we found ourselves in Iowa yesterday.
Yes, we did.
And we went to this
no reason why.
No. You wanted to take me on a just a day trip.
Yes, I did.
But we went to this little lake. And it was just sweet and peaceful, small.
Yes.
And they had one little outhouse there.
Mm, yes.
And we were the only people there. Mm-hmm. And you went and, of course, you cannot pass up a bathroom.
No, I can't.
Yeah. So you went to the bathroom and you came back and you said that there's a sign
there.
I'm
a preventative peer, really. That's the truth.
Yeah. You do a preventative pissing.
Uh-huh.
And it said, this bathroom is clean, sterilized.
Yes.
Twice a week.
Yes. Mondays and Fridays.
Mondays and Fridays at 9:30.
Yes, they even get
and
time.
Luckily, we were there on Friday at about 11.
I felt honored. I will christen this bathroom, this outhouse, which I did.
Yes. Well, it's interesting to me because this week we mentioned the and I wonder if other people might have this in their history. We mentioned the great Andrew Womack debacle.
Oh, okay. What was it? Oh, yes.
Well, the great Andrew Womack. First of all, Andrew Womack was one of our favorite preachers.
Yes.
On BVOVN.
Yes.
And when we discovered him, we just thought, oh, my God, cat's meow.
Mm-hmm.
And we just fell in love with him and his kind of like
his quiet nature.
Cowboy style. Yeah. And he came to Chicago. Well, yep. Actually, it was Aurora or...
No, Oakbrook.
Oakbrook. He came to
the Westin Hotel.
And Julie said, Mama, I got to go see him.
I got to go see
him. I got to see him in person after
Andrew
all of Womack. This.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was excited for you. Mm-hmm. You got your ticket. It was mm-hmm. going to be kind of a very small venue. So
yes.
You were going to be able to, they said, pictures to be taken.
Yes.
And all of that. And so we were like, oh, I was just so happy.
Yeah.
And I get the first call from you.
Yes.
Like, you know, did you see him? What's going to happen? How's the crowd? And thus starts what we now call the great Andrew Womack debacle.
I don't know why I'm bringing this up, but I'll take you on this trip. I mean, I'll follow you wherever you go, girlfriend. Go for it.
Well, I was going to hope that you would go for it.
I mean, like, I'll tell you the debacle.
Yeah.
I mean, so here's how the phone call
because,
goes.
Only because you had a debacle this week at one point.
I did. I don't remember it, though, very clearly.
You were doing something.
Yes.
And you went, oh, I was unexpected.
Oh, yeah, okay. Something like that. Let's go, okay.
Okay.
So anyway, ring, ring, ring.
Hello?
Mom, you're not going to believe what just happened.
How's Andrew Womack?
Well, I just walked in.
I can't believe it. Danny and I have been waiting here. Can't wait to tell. What's he look like in person?
Well, he looks exactly like he looks like on TV. It's awesome. He's a little shorter than I thought he was going to be. Great group of people here.
Do you have a good seat?
I've got a great seat. But unfortunately, I had to leave my seat quickly because I had to go to the bathroom really bad. And I'm telling you right now, this is horrible. This was the messiest poo I've ever had in my entire life. I needed so much toilet paper. And I was like, how am I still dirty down there? How is this fucking possible? And why now? I didn't change my diet. I don't understand it. I'm in a public restroom. And this is literally the messiest poop I've ever had in my entire life. Now, I want to say this. I did not have diarrhea.
No.
I didn't leave a big mess on the toilet bowl.
It wasn't that explosive diarrhea.
No, the toilet bowl looked pristine.
People you run into when you're going into a public...
No,
yeah,
no, you no. Wouldn't, it didn't even smell it, nothing. It was like,
oh, didn't it?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But I'm telling you the story. Yeah. But what it almost is like somehow I didn't finish completely. And then I somehow someone took both my cheeks and like banged them together and then opened them up again. And I was like, what just happened there? And then I go, well, I better do my paperwork now, as Dad says. And then kept having to do my paperwork. But then you feel weird because you're in a public bathroom. There's no plunger. So you're like, how much paperwork can I get done?
Yeah.
So I chose to do a double flush.
Yes.
Which is embarrassing in itself because if you do a double flush in a public bathroom,
people
know you're what you're doing.
People know you're doing a mercy flush.
And then you're like, and there's not only that, this is a bathroom that's near the convention hall.
Right.
There's a line. People are waiting for the stalls. So I am in there a long time. And at just some point I'm going, well, this is just my life right now.
Yeah.
And it is, and really,
and
I don't
know
remember.
How long you're gone. And your seat.
I didn't eat anything weird.
No.
I didn't do anything different.
No.
But I had literally the worst cleanup necessary. Mm-hmm. It's like someone would have said, clean up in the back aisle. You know, come bring a mop. But that didn't happen. I was just left there alone with a public bathroom full of stalls next to me. And I'm just like, well, here I am now.
Yeah.
glory be to God. Amen.
Praise
amen.
God, the great Andrew Womack debacle.
And I'm like, now the other part of me, because if you were a subjectivist, you might go, you know, I would just say, on one side, it's just like, oh, isn't this funny? This is hysterical. The other side is like, boy, the devil is trying to do anything to prevent me from listening to Andrew Womack. That devil, I say, back away, devil. Back away. Get out of my butt. Because I need to get my paperwork done, and I need to go and listen to Andrew Womack.
You need to go get back in there. Get back in the game.
You know, it's funny because I don't remember much about that.
Yeah.
I remember the weird things that happened. Those are the things that you remember, not how spiritual it was.
Yes. That's all I remember.
Yeah. I remember the paperwork issue.
Yeah.
I remember meeting a nice guy during the thing, and we were talking, and he's like, yeah, I'm a fan of I mentioned Bill Winston. He liked Bill Winston. He liked Kenneth Copeland. So he liked the same guys I liked. Mm-hmm. And then I mentioned, what else I mentioned? Oh, so then I also remember how I met Andrew. And I just was like, listen, I just want to tell you, you changed my life. I love you so much. And then, but I think I must have scared him a little too much, being too gooey-eyed.
Yeah.
And he goes, listen, I understand when people come to me, they say, hey, you know, I love you so much. I love your message. He goes, but I know it's just Jesus coming through. And I'm like, yes, I know it's Christ.
It's not you,
it's not
Andrew.
You, it's Jesus. I'm just a
fan. And plus, Julie, I'm married.
I know. That's what I felt like. Dude, I'm not hitting on you.
I know. What was another guy that you were nice to?
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, by the way, I'm married.
Yeah, like, you know, shit. Like, yeah, like, okay.
Just because you're nice to people, the guys think she must want me.
And I'm thinking that Doug needs to get me a ring or something like that, because I'm just tired of, like, I'm like, dude, I'm not hitting on you by being nice. I'm just being nice to you, really. No, and then.
So what happened this week, though, that it was like, we were leaving to go someplace. I guess it was here.
Yeah. But can I say something really good about Andrew?
Yeah.
Well, I remember because I started watching him because I had thrown my back out and I couldn't do anything but just, I mean, it was like a month of pain and so forth. And then, so anyway, I decided to, I want to show Doug. I'm like, oh, yeah, let me listen to this preacher guy. He's so love and peace and greatness.
Oh,
and at that exact moment, you know, Andrew broke bad on me. You know, he brought in this woman who had gone through one of those courses that turned you not gay anymore. Mm-hmm. They're called something. I can't think of who they are.
Don't know.
Yeah. And I'm just like, and I just dropped in my seat because he had never mentioned this the entire time I was watching him. And I'm so pro-gay, like I could be gay. I don't even know. You know, I'm just like, that is not an issue for me and my beliefs in Christianity. Right. It's like a zero issue.
Right.
I know pastors who are gay. I mean, like, it's just nothing to me.
Right.
So when he did this, though, and it happened to be the exact same time I showed Doug, Doug's like, what the hell's going on, Julie? Is this where you're at now? And I'm like, no.
This is new.
This is new. I've never heard him say anything like this. And now I feel dejected.
Yeah.
But I can compartmentalize the man.
Yes.
And yada, yada, yada. Yeah. I can figure it out.
Well, I was actually saying about the great Andrew Womack debacle because you had told me another story.
Yes.
About those backdoor issues.
Yes. Well, okay. I was right. Well, this is a different backdoor issue. I get you here because I had mentioned this week that I had listened to a couple week old Dan Savage and a couple week old Risk podcast. Mm-hmm. I like Risk podcasts. They're a storyteller. People tell their real stories by taking a risk, and they can get a little dirty, a little sexual. It's kind of funny because they're playing old ones now.
Mm-hmm.
And remember when I told you about how USA had a disclaimer in the front of the movie I can't think of the guy's name. Rush Hour. Remember Rush Hour, the movie?
Oh, because of...
They just said, hey, guys, we love our 80s and 90s comedy just as much as you do. However, times have changed, and where things might seem a little bit, inappropriate now, they were perfect in the day.
Right.
Let's just cut them some slack.
Right.
And I'm like, gotcha. Mm-hmm. And so Risk now has a a disclaimer in front of their podcast.
Oh, really?
Saying, hey, guys, we're playing some past risks that were done 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And back then, listen, times were different.
Right.
We would make different decisions now. And so, but here it goes. So I love that because it tells how time is changing so fast.
Oh, so fast.
And like, hey, don't write me an email saying, yeah, how dare this person behave like
this. Well, I was
like
listening
to
Kenneth Copeland this morning.
Yes.
And he was...
No, this is great.
The only thing he was talking about, and he was reminded of his father when he was young, had a Chinese doctor.
Mm.
And he went and did the Chinese... He went, to be healthy, just chop off head and then wait until body heals, then put head back on. Ha, ha, ha. And I'm like, wait, well, look at the clock, 2020.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you're like, a little cringeworthy.
He's 85 years
old. And
okay,
he didn't
let
mean
it be.
It negatively.
No.
But it was a little cringeworthy.
It was a little cringeworthy.
I was listening to Adam Carolla interview the mean teacher from Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
And he comments about, I think he says...
You didn't say right. Cobra Kai.
Yeah, Cobra Kai. But he mentioned, he didn't say the word Asian. He said Oriental. As in, like, his wife was, or like he was working with the Orientals. Mm-hmm. I'm like, who says Oriental anymore? That's weird. And like, he said over and over and over again, no one stopped him, no mm-hmm. one corrected him. Mm-hmm. But I started getting a little cringeworthy because I'm like, I don't know if that's an appropriate word anymore.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, even like with Trump, he would say, you know, look, and this says flu came from this thing came from China. It was a kung flu.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh.
You're like, what? Okay. No comedy for my president, please. Yeah. No comedy. Yeah. So anyway, on Risk and Dan Savage, Savage Lovecast, they both, you know, sometimes I listen to my podcast and I listen to philosophy podcasts and all this stuff, and I think to myself, maybe I should expand my mind more, become a little bit more open to different situations and more playful and open to more experiences. I'm pretty much vanilla everywhere you go. Mm-hmm. And because I get in my head and I think, am I only vanilla because I was brought up that way? Mm-mm. Like, how could I be nothing but vanilla?
You've just been programmed vanilla.
From Sam Harris, I was born to my mom and dad, who from an early age told me that the only reason why I'm here is because they both fucked up and got drunk and had me. But life is good. They love me just the same. They're good. What? But, you know, what I'm saying is...
Yeah.
But
we just fucked. We didn't fuck up.
There you go. Right. Okay. But I was then all those stories I heard about, like, hey, good girls don't do that in the back of a car. You know, like, how could I be nothing but vanilla, right?
Right.
Okay. So then I think to myself, will I just raise that way? Or is that truly how God created me? Because some kind of people... God created other ways, you know, and mm-hmm. so forth. And maybe want to do sexual tourism. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not me. Mm-hmm. I feel like I don't need to do that. Mm-mm. Again, enough sexual tourism where I live. No. But anyway, that's beside the point. So then sometimes you go like, oh, like, you know, like, what about backyard sex?
Let me ask you about back door sex, Julie.
Backyard.
That's okay.
Backyard.
A lot of mosquitoes, but oh well.
Backdoor sex. And then I heard two stories within literally a day or two.
Mm-hmm.
And the head of the narrator of Risk was discussing a story how he went to some European country, Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm.
And because he was like, I got to explore my sexuality. And the only way to do that for a gay young man is go to Amsterdam. And he had the most, you know, backdoor sex ever in Amsterdam. He was mm-hmm. totally explored himself and multiple partners, all this stuff.
Yes.
And when he came home, he started having really bad gas on the plane, like horrific gas. And I'm like, well, okay, that's interesting. And then he started having really bad, you know, burning poop. Mm-hmm. And he had to go to the doctor. And then the doctor said, well, Richard, I don't know his name. I can't remember his name.
You mean Dick?
Yeah. have you been to Amsterdam lately? Because we're seeing a case of non-curable syphilis or chlamydia or herpes. Mm-hmm. Have you gone there? He's like, I just came back from there. He's like, oh no. He goes, well, we don't know for sure what it is, but if it is that, it's not curable. And he's like, oh no, I just started exploring my sexuality. Wouldn't it be horrible if it had to end this way? And I'm like, this is the reason why I don't do this stuff, because there's nothing out there in the world that I think is as exciting as the potential to have non-curable, whatever, fill in the blank. That just doesn't work for me.
Right.
By the way, the test came back positive for the curable kind. So he's okay now.
Yes.
So that's good.
He got cured.
Yeah. And then at the same time, I'm listening to Dan Savage, and this woman calls up talking about how her boyfriend just got back from Vegas, where she gave him a hall pass to go explore himself sexually. And he was experiencing a lot of, you know, backdoor sex pain, and you know, what should we do about that? And I'm like, got it. I don't need to go explore anything but vanilla stuff, because right. vanilla tastes good.
You know, like that expression, shut the front door.
Yeah,
I'm thinking,
keep the front door open.
It should be shut the back door.
Yeah. And I'm telling you, when you have really good vanilla, it's like the best thing in the world. It's like
especially when it has those little, when you take that vanilla bean and you open it up,
yes,
and you
scrape it and you put the vanilla bean. Or when you have the French vanilla,
mm-hmm,
awesome. Custard.
Oui.
Right, exactly. I actually bought vanilla the other day that had three different kinds of vanilla in it. It was vanilla bean,
mm-hmm,
home style vanilla, mm-hmm, and French vanilla.
A three-way.
It was a three-way. It was a menage a trois. Whoa. I was very happy with that.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Exactly.
Thank you. Last week we discussed how semis are really, they're a sleeper. They're really a domicile. Domicile. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Domicile. And
Docile means tame.
Yes, I do know. I want to say domicile, but I just like, oh, did I say it right? Mm-hmm. Casa
Amigos.
Yes.
Which is my new favorite truck ever.
Yes.
The Casa Amigos truck, full of
tequila. People love tequila. But anyway, this guy, walking back from the rest area to his abode, his happy abode, I looked inside, the lights were on, and I touched my heart, because he had a quilt, a beautiful, you know, mm-hmm, quilt with the squares,
mm-hmm,
and a matching pillow. Shams on his bed in his semi. And I thought, you know what?
It's his home.
Oh, this made me feel so happy.
Yeah.
So happy.
There's no place like home.
Mm. And I wanted to give him a sticker saying, hey, you win the semi bed of the year.
Yes.
I would have loved that.
Yes.
You know, my bed, because we don't sleep in their bed a lot. Mm-hmm. And thank God we're not truly over the road truckers, but we chill out and back when we're getting loaded.
Yeah.
And if we have to spend the night, because just the way it works out.
Yes.
Unfortunately, though, I have to share my bed with a ladder.
No, is that true?
It is true. But I have
daddy.
I know, because I don't know what's to do with this ladder. I sometimes move it to the front seat when I'm, you know, mm-hmm, and so forth. So I do move it. But I wanted to say that on my bed, I had this lovely, remember that, I stole that comforter. You kind of mention it once in a while, like, where is this at? It's the one where it's silky on the outside.
Yes.
And it's like wool on the inside.
Fleece?
No, it's the one that has like, looks like a lamb, like... Lamb.
Yeah.
Oh, you like said a, fleece.
Like, yeah. Isn't that lamb?
I don't know. But yes.
Or that wool, fleecy, like
the
mucklucks almost.
Yeah.
Like.
Okay, maybe that's
that
it.
That brown one?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. That's lovely.
That's a lovely one.
That's lovely.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very happy with it.
That's a snuggly blanket.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So, girlfriend, how else is your week going for you?
Oh, just great.
Well, I'll tell you one thing.
Just
that,
great.
Just great. I'll tell you one more thing that you felt was great.
Mm-hmm.
I want to kind of let people into our life a little bit. If by chance, by October 15th, which I know this to be true, and we failed this year, if by chance by October 15th, you don't have all the Christmas presents done or figured out, mm-hmm, you start getting, for
antsy.
Lack of a better, antsy. Yeah. I was going to say crabby.
Yeah.
And mean.
Yeah.
You blame me. And you get a little mean to me.
Mm-hmm.
And you start taking it out on me. Like, you know, by now, I usually have this picked out. By now, I usually have all the grandkids, their presents are already done and wrapped.
Right.
You know, and I go, and I think 3 days ago you said, oh, Julie, by the way, we haven't gotten anything going yet for the grandkids. What, what's this about? What's going on? And then finally, we decided to go.
Yes.
And I got everything done at one time. You had a wonderful thought of inspiration, a spark.
Mm-hmm.
Because you like to have a theme for Chris, for the Christmas kids. You're like, I want this theme. And I go, I can do it. I can fulfill it. We did it all at one time. I got them all wrapped. They're all put away. And you were like,
sigh of relief.
And then today.
I, at least before Thanksgiving.
Thank God. Because otherwise, literally, I think I would have been beaten down even more. And even today, you said, you know, we have not placed our order yet for the Swiss Colony Keep people, because we do the Swiss Colony to some of the people, and we love doing that. And you're feeling the
I was feeling the pressure build.
And I said, Mom, it's COVID year.
This is after 50 years, though. Yeah. You start feeling the pressure.
It's okay if we wait 4 weeks before. We know what we're going for.
But everybody says, oh, it's going to be late because of COVID, you know? So that's what was I was trying to get, beat the rush, you know?
Yeah, the rush has been beaten.
Yeah.
It's done. We're good to go.
Yeah.
We're good to go. But I was realizing that this week, I was being exceptionally crabby to Normano. Like in our private moments, I was just bossing around, being a little short with him. He goes, he would tell me something to do, and I would say, I'm not doing it that way, I'm doing it this way. And he's like, all right. Like, just be, but I would be like really, really short with him.
Yeah.
And then I figured out why. I had an epiphany.
And what was the epiphany?
I'm going to tell you, and I hope you're okay with me sharing this.
Okay.
I don't want you to be upset with me, first off. But
I'll try not to.
I realize that when we spend a lot of time together, because you so quickly let me know when you think I'm crabby. Like, you'll say stuff, not blatantly like, hey, you're being a bitch, but more like, oh, Julie, I really wish you weren't so crabby right now. Oh, like, oh, Julie, I really wish you were in a better mood.
When was the last time you had some protein, Julie?
Yeah, you know, like, and I, so I try really hard through the course of our time together to be happy, up, keep my energy level. I mean, I really work it. I
really
want to be
honestly
that.
I really appreciate that.
I bet you do.
I really do.
I bet you do.
I was actually, I actually thought this was your personality, that you're just
I think it is my personality.
Woman.
Well, because I want to come across that.
Yeah.
But I think without trying to come across that, I might be a little shorter with my, just I'm a little more clippier.
Yes.
And that, and that's just a speech pattern. And so with you though, unless I want to be called out continuously on being clippy and being crabby, I really work on being like even, nice. Hey, girlfriend, how you doing, sweetie?
Well, we do read each other's emotions.
Yes, and I try to
all the time.
And I want to be like, I'm never in, I'm never like, I need to be right. I don't ever feel that way.
Right.
Like, I don't have to be this way. I don't have
and
to be
I don't
way.
Either. I don't think
no. No, but there are times I would like you to have your way.
Yes,
like
that's
I don't
true.
Need to have my way during this.
Right.
If you feel I have too much, I'm like, oh, I'm really in on this.
I'll let you know, right?
Yeah.
And I usually.
And so, but I realized because of the Christmas thing and a couple other things, you have been picking at me a little bit more than usual.
Mm-hmm.
I think even a couple times you said, what, I don't know what happened to this house, but yesterday this house was perfect. Today the house is really messy. And I'm like, it's not really messy, but okay. And I'm like, okay, getcha. And so I don't know what was going on, but I'm like, that was just me this week, you know?
Right.
And so, but I was realizing that I was then Normano, I'd come and meet Normano. He said something to me. I'd be like, shut the fuck up. Back the fuck off me. I'll get it this way.
Yeah.
Like he, I was needing to get the information for a load that was on his phone. And I go, and I was starting to write it on a piece of napkin. And I'm like, this is stupid. I'll just take a picture of it. And then he goes, oh, I will go get you a real notebook, Julie. And I said, don't give me a real notebook. I'll take a picture of it. Just let me do what I want to do. Like, why are you micromanaging me, man? What the fuck? Stop micromanaging me. And then I had to have it. And this happened like 3 or 4 times where I just got short with him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I kept saying, get off my ass, man. What's going on with you? And then I talked to him today about it. I said, I want to apologize. I have been short with you and there's no reason for it. He goes, I didn't even notice.
He doesn't.
No. And I'm like, thank the Lord.
He truly does not notice.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah, after I'll see you do that to him.
Yeah.
And he'll come back. He goes, isn't she sweet? She's just the best kid, isn't he? I'm like, oh my God, he does not see this.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
She is just
thank you.
She is just being the biggest bossy bitch
yeah,
ever.
I was. He's like, oh, my little girl loves me so much.
Look at this, how much attention she's giving me.
I know, she just loves me. I love the attention.
I love him for that.
Yes, I love the fact that she won't let me leave the house looking like, you know, a fool, you know, yeah. that she has to micromanage my yeah. clothes. I appreciate that. Yeah. You know, I appreciate that she won't let me say these old archaic phrases anymore that might get me in a little trouble nowadays. Right. Even though I thought they were totally hip in the day,
right.
they're not hip anymore.
Right.
And so, Dad, I say, you're welcome.
Yeah.
So, girlfriend, how was the show today?
Oh, my God. It went by so fast. It was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great.